Good morning. I'm glad you are here. Always glad to see you here and be able to worship together and fellowship together. Just some reminders. On Saturday, November the 23rd, we're going to have Friendsgiving out at Vesper Hills together. It's going to start at 4. If you need a ride, we're going to meet at the church at 3. And we will be happy to take you out to Vesper Hills so you're able to join us. So Friendsgiving is going to be at 4 on the 23rd of November. And also, we're going to be hosting, along with Champions, Thanksgiving for Summer Bloom, which is a recovery counseling facility here downtown, on November the 27th. We're going to be hosting Thanksgiving for them and for the people that go through Summer Bloom for treatment, but also anybody that's wanting to come on the 27th. So you're more than welcome to come. You're more than welcome to donate to that, a pumpkin pie, whatever little dessert that you like. We'd be more than happy to take donations as well. Poinsettias are due. So you'll have an insert in your bulletin for the poinsettias. And also, we're going to continue to do the love offering for Pastor Jeff and Tina through the holiday season. And the envelopes are out on the table where the bulletins are. Pastor Jeff did get his new walker, and Tina has posted some videos on Facebook. So if you'd like to see them, I can show you some of the videos. But he made his own coffee this morning. So it has really been a blessing to them. And it was funny because that was one of the things that Tina had told Pastor Jeff, you would be able to do by on your own. You can make your own coffee. And Pastor Jeff said, well, what if I don't want to make my own coffee? What if I like you making it? So I kind of joked with her this morning and messaged that to her. Well, what if he doesn't want to? She's trying to give him back some independence. You know, what he can be independent in doing. And one of those things was you get up and you make your own coffee, Jeff. I don't want to make your coffee for you anymore. So this is day 2. So it's already been a blessing for them. So I wanted to share that with you this morning. I know we have a lot of prayer requests, a lot of healing requests. This year, I was thinking about this over the weekend. We've had a lot of loss in our lives this year. Individually, and also within our congregation, we've lost people, loved ones. So just continue to pray, especially when we're coming into this Advent season where, you know, we have this great expectation of, you know, Jesus's birth, but also those longing for the light to come in to their lives. So pray for those families, pray for our church families that have suffered the loss. Are there any other prayer requests? Yes. Yes, pray for Rachel. Rachel's not feeling well this morning, and neither was Tina. I think they're sharing a bug. So keep our girls in your prayers. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Great. And that's through your class, right? Yeah. Okay. Well, that's exciting. That's exciting. And the interview's this week? Tuesday this week. Okay, Candace. Big interview on Tuesday. All right, girl. We'll keep you prayered up, prayered up. Yeah. Yes. 16 weeks of treatment for their sister-in-law, Robin. So pray for her. All right, let's go to the Lord. This is from Isaiah 42. It says, the servant's mission. This is my servant. I strengthen him. This is my chosen one. I delight in him. I have put my spirit on him. He will bring justice to the nations. He will not cry out or shout or make his voice heard in the streets. He will not break a bruised reed, and he will not put out a smoldering wick. He will faithfully bring justice. He will not grow weak or be discouraged until he has established justice on the earth. The coasts and islands will wait for his instruction. This is what God, the Lord, says, who created the heavens and stretched them out and spread out the earth and what comes from it. He gives breath to the people on it and the spirit to those who walk on it. I am the Lord. I have called you for a righteous purpose, and I will hold you by your hand. I will watch over you and appoint you to be a covenant for the people and a light to the nations, in order to open blind eyes, in order to bring prisoners from the dungeon and those sitting in darkness from the prison house. Amen. Father God, we thank you this morning, and we thank you always for your Son Jesus, that we gather here this morning prepared to receive a word from you, prepared to receive a word that is going to transform us to be more like your Son Jesus. And through his righteousness, through his forgiveness, through what he did for us on the cross, that we can come to you, Father, and restore a relationship back with you, because we are not perfect. We are just mortal humans that are faulty, that have made mistakes. And we can look back on this week, and I can point out some significant ones, Lord. But we come into this space, we come into this time, knowing how broken we are, but also knowing that you are perfect in every way, and that you love us so much that you gave us your Son to restore us, to heal us, to be a light in our darkness. Oh, and how much we need the light, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you are our light. And I pray over Paul as he gives us this word, your word this morning, Lord. And I thank you for his servant heart, and I thank you for the praise band as they lead us into this time of worship and praise, using the gifts that you've given them to serve you. And all the hands that have prepared the work of your church this week, thank you for their hands, their servant hearts, Lord. And all the prayer requests that we have been spoken this morning, and also all the requests that we just keep tucked in our heart, we lift them up to you. And do what only you can do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And what is praise, church? What is praise? It is not quiet. Amen. Now is not the time to be quiet. Amen. Our greeting this morning, Psalm 28, verses 5-8. They care nothing for what the Lord has done or for what his hands have made. So he will tear them down, and they will never be rebuilt. Praise the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and my shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me. And with my heart is filled, I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. Lord gives his people strength. He is a safe place for his anointed king. Amen.
I think we've all had those days. We struggle. Can't find what the Lord's telling us. You know, all the confusion, the days going on. Sometimes we just got to put off ourselves and just try to focus on the Lord. Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it isn't. We just turn it over to the Lord and see what he wants for us.
Oh, Father God, we come into this place. We lift you up and we praise and we do worship you. We worship you for the God as our creator, sustainer, father, and provider. And we come into this time where we ask that you accept these gifts and these tithes, these offerings that we give back to you, Lord, that you've blessed our lives with every little thing, and that they were first yours before they were ours. And we give back to you. We want to help partner with you building your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. So we just pray that you bless these gifts and that you will use them to glorify you, to glorify your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Where are my kiddos? We don't have very many today, but that's okay. Come on down. So, do you have a favorite animal? You have two favorite animals? What are your favorite animals? A dog and a cat. Do you have any favorite animals? When you see them, you just get excited and you're just like, oh, I just love them. They make you excited?
Kitty.
A kitty? What about you? Cats? Oh, I share that. I love dogs too. You like what? You like both? That's okay. My favorite is a dog too. Are they not precious? Oh my gosh, they're so precious. They lick your face and they love you so much and they get so excited to see you when you come home. Do you get excited when you see your mom and dad? Yeah, well, my kids don't anymore. My kids don't get excited to see me anymore. And I listen, you, when you see your mom and dad, you got to be excited because they'll miss it. They'll just hug you, hug them and you kiss them. But every time I come home, Piper is so excited to see me. She gets so excited. She can't contain herself. It's like her tail goes 100 miles an hour and she just can't wait for me to pick her up and love on her. And it makes my heart feel so good. So who made animals for us to enjoy? Do you know? Who made them?
Yes.
And how do we know that? How do we know that he did that? Do you know? Catherine Barber, you're cheating.
I said that.
How do we know? Well, I'll tell you how we know. Yeah. The Bible tells us so. And it says, then God said, let the earth produce living creatures according to their kind. All the creatures that crawl, the wildlife on all the earth. So God made wildlife on the earth according to their kind. And all the creatures that crawl on the ground according to their kind. And God saw that it was good and he blessed it. So that's how we know. And that's what we're going to learn today. Okay, we go downstairs. Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for our church. And thank you for our family. And thank you for all the animals you created. We enjoy watching them and learning about them. And you did such an amazing job. And we thank you so much for your creation. And help us to learn more about how to take care of them. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, let's go.
Let's pray the prayer, this is my Bible, and ask God to help us through today and learn more about him through his word. Haley started it out really well because she started in Genesis and she told about how the animals came about and that it was with God's love that he gave them to us. So let's pray the prayer, this is my Bible, and ask him to enter into this service with us. This is my Bible. It contains the word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it. I believe it, and that settles it. Amen. Well, my first week back to work, it went well. It took a little extra time off here and there. Of course, it's very difficult for me, let's put it that way, to be chauffeured back and forth to places. I like to be able to come and go, and, you know, when things are needed, just jump and go. But when you're waiting for a ride, it's like waiting for God in a way, because we don't know when he's going to come or what he's going to do, right? And he tells you at times, hey, this is happening, so we're dealing with it, right? So as we start looking today into the scriptures, our first scripture today is taken from the Old Testament book of Samuel. Some of you may have never heard of this story, and others might be reminded of how God established a prophet for Israel. God's plan for the future of his nation Israel was first establishing a monarchy in Israel, and of God's elevation of David to the throne, God's anointed one. But before that could happen, God raised up a prophet for Israel. When Israel was in crisis, the prophet Samuel was needed at this time, just as Moses was needed when he brought and freed Israel from the bondage of Egypt to complete God's plan for his chosen people. So the first two scriptures today explain to us how God's plan was set in motion. 1 Samuel 1:4-20 reads, "Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb." Understand that God has the power not only to give, but to withhold children for a purpose. We're going to go on in verse 6. "Because the Lord had closed Hannah's womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. When Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her until she wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah would say to her, 'Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons?' Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's house. In her deep anguish, Hannah prayed to the Lord, weeping bitterly. And she made a vow, saying, 'Lord Almighty, if you will only look on your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head.' As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought that she was drunk and said to her, 'How long are you going to stay drunk? Put away your wine.' 'Not so, my lord,' Hannah replied. 'I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief.' Eli answered, 'Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked him.' She said, 'May your servant find favor in your eyes.' Then she went on her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning they rose and worshiped before the Lord. And when they went back to their home at Ramah, Elkanah made love to his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, 'Because I asked the Lord for him.' Hannah was desperate. She felt hopeless. Hannah felt she was not worthy of her husband because she was unable to give him a child, especially a son. Isaiah 41:10 says, 'Do not fear, for I am with you. I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand.' Have you ever thought to yourself, 'This is hopeless?' We all encounter seemingly impossible trials. But when we do, we must always make a decision. We believe in God's word, or will we deny the truth of the scripture? The Bible testifies repeatedly that no matter how desperate your situation may appear, you can always count on the limitlessness resources of your mighty God for your deliverance. Either you believe it or you don't. When Hannah was provoked, not eating and weeping, she definitely felt hopeless. She was distraught, beside herself, and even helpless. She then went to the Lord in silent prayer. But Eli observed her mouthing the words and not hearing nothing, so he thought she was drunk. She poured out her heart in emotions. Eli told her, 'Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him.' Hannah never told Eli why she was distraught, but But he saw her sorrow and pain, granting her prayer to be answered. Remember, you are not hopeless, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Is there anyone or anything that can overcome the one who created the heavens and the earth? Isn't that what Haley talked about? Is there anyone out here that could create that? No. You are promised his wisdom, strength, love, and counsel every step of the way. He knows the end from the beginning and the works to accomplish his good and perfect will in and through you. He will lead you triumphantly to the finish line. So today, decide to believe in his word above your own senses and understanding. Your Savior is the God of hope, and he is yours forever. We can rely on God because he is always with me in every situation. So knowing all this that we discussed above, what should happen when we are given that in which we know is a gift from God? Too often, we as humans, we promise God anything to get what we really want. Unfortunately, too often, God grants us our wish or want, and we give back less to God than what we promised. We cut corners or only give a portion back to him. But Hannah, on the other hand, promised God her firstborn son to live in service to the Lord. Hannah presented Samuel to Eli to serve for his entire life. After Hannah presented Samuel to God, she immediately prayed to God in thanksgiving for all he had done for her. So 1 Samuel 2, verses 1 through 10 reads, and it is Hannah's prayer. Then Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. Do not keep talking so proudly or let your mouth speak such arrogance. For the Lord is a God who knows, and by him deeds are weighed. The bows of the warriors are broken, but those who stumbled are armed with strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for food, but those who are hungry no more. She who was barren has borne 7 children, but she has not many sons pined away. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He praises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ashes heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherited a throne of honor. For the foundation of the earth are the Lord's. On them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from the heaven, and the Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the horn of his anointed. Hannah's prayer is constructed of 2 balanced parts. While there is considerable overlapping of themes between the first and the second halves, the focus of Hannah's praise shifts from a celebration of the ways that God that lifted her high, her horn, to a celebration of the ways that God will exalt the horn of his anointed. Our next scripture is from the New Testament, the Gospel of Mark. This is the first 2 of the 5 sections. Number 1, which talks of Jesus' prophecy of the destruction of the temple, which gives rise to the disciples' questions. And then number 2, warnings against the deceivers, as well as false signs of the end. Mark 13, 1 through 8 reads, as Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent buildings. Do you see all these great buildings? Replied Jesus. Not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us when all these things will happen, and what will be the sign that they are all about to be fulfilled?" Jesus said to them, "Watch out that no one deceives you. Many will come in my name claiming, 'I am he,' and will deceive many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places and famines. These are the beginning of birth pains." Our final scripture today is taken from the book of Hebrews. The 10th chapter of Hebrews reminds us that Jesus Christ's death on the cross was the ultimate sacrifice once and for all. Once Jesus gave his life, the need for individual sacrifices prescribed by the law prefigured Christ's ultimate sacrifice. Christ's sacrifice on the cross covered every repetitive ritual for all the past and all the sin-removing sacrifices, even those that had not yet been offered. Hebrews 10, verses 11 through 14. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he will offer the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he awaits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he is made perfect forever those who are being made holy. You know, sometimes the simplest instructions can be the hardest to follow. Sometimes it's physically impossible, but that is not the problem most of the time. The difficulty usually lies elsewhere. Sometimes the simple instruction does not mean what it says. If you tell someone to freeze, you don't want them to be frozen. You want them to hold still. Sometimes compliance takes time. If you tell a runner, stop, they have to slow down first, and then they can stop. Most of the time, though, the problem with following instructions comes from the fact that we just don't want to follow those instructions. There may be no reason, but we can always seem to find an excuse. It becomes easier to follow an instruction when we know and trust the one who gives it. Trust can be developed in a number of ways. We can learn to trust through our own experiences. After all, experience is the best teacher, right? Unfortunately, experience takes time. It is usually the slowest way to learn, and we may need to know who we can trust right away. Trust can also be built from the experience of others. Those around us know who to trust based on their experiences and the experiences of the community. If you need someone to do work in your home, you might ask a neighbor who they have called on. A recommendation with a good reference helps build trust. As Christians, we gain experience with our Lord every day. We also have the witness of the scriptures and the faithful people who have trusted God for thousands of years. All of this should teach us to trust him. We can trust him with everything that means anything. We can trust him with our souls. We can trust him with eternity. We can trust him with his promises. We can trust him. But we need to also help others to trust him too. This week, when I was going through looking up the scriptures for today, they have a featured hymn. That featured hymn is from John Stockton. Although he wrote many hymns, this is one that has lived on. There's a good reason. The themes in these verses appear in the Bible and in other beloved hymns. Compare the opening words with the third verse of Charles Wesley's "Come, Sinners," to the gospel feast, which says, "Come, all ye souls, by sin oppressed." Robert Lowry's hymn, "Nothing But the Blood," I think we sung that last week, didn't we? Captures images from Psalms and the prophets of being washed white as snow. And then there's the chorus, "Only trust him. He will save you." This is salvation by faith. and very heart of the gospel message. With all of these trusted themes, it is no wonder that the hymn calls to us across the generations. Think about the trustworthy sources that support these themes in the hymn as you read these words, or as I read these words to you. Come every soul by sin oppressed. There's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His word. For Jesus shed His precious blood, rich blessings to bestow. Plunge now into the crimson flood that washes bright as snow. Yes, Jesus is the truth, the way that leads you to the rest. Believe in Him without delay, and you are fully blessed. Come then and join His holy band, and on to glory go, to dwell in that celestial land where joys immortal flow. The refrain says, only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now, because He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Only trust Him. It's a simple instruction. The more we trust Him, the easier it is to follow. I don't know anybody anywhere that we can trust like our Lord Jesus Christ and that God, our Father. How do you find that out? Haley talked about it, right? You open the Bible and you read His word and He tells you where you're going. But there is no one, no one on earth that we can trust like Him. And He proves it over and over and over again. When we're struggling in this world and we need a place to go, if we go to Him, He can show us the way. Lead us down that path that we need. Sometimes those paths aren't so easy through these woods and stones and terrain that's difficult. But if we trust in Him, He'll lead us through. Amen? Hannah trusts in the Lord. And we also know that everything we ask for will not always be given. But in this case, God had a purpose for Samuel. And He made sure that that happened. But when it was over, she also stopped to thank Him for the things that He had done for her. One of them was giving up her son in service to the Lord. That's a big ask. But God granted her wish. And God made all things possible. A lot of people say the end time's coming. The signs are written on the walls. They've been talking about it since the Old Testament. They talk about it in the New Testament, about the end times, and that God will give us someone. But you know what? We already have someone, Jesus Christ our Lord, who has given to us in our hearts and allows us to trust in Him. But what was the other part of that? We've got to find others to trust in Him too. So as we leave here today, you have a job to do. Tell others of God's glorious things that He does in your life today and every day. The sun that comes up in the morning that we don't have to worry about. Because every day He gives us His Son. Not only that bright thing in the sky, but His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Have a blessed week.